You're listening to a podcast from 702.
Spend your afternoon
with Relebogile Mabotja
on 702.
Let's walk the talk.
17 minutes to 2 o'clock. And I'm wondering, are you somebody walking around with dreadlocks? What is the reason you opted to get your hair locked? Was the reason by any chance a spiritual one? And are you someone who observes dreadlocks and thinks, what a nice hairstyle, not being aware that there are spiritual reasons that people choose to lock their hair and keep it in that state? We are joined by the founder of Moya Munya Wellness Center, Ntokozo Dei, to chat about the significance of dreadlocks in relation to spirituality. And we take your calls with all of your questions and comments and your stories on 011-883-0702 in the WhatsApp line 0727021702. Ntokozo, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having us.
I thought that your locks were going to be out and about, but the way they are put together, like, you have long, long locks.
Yeah, then, like, they're not really long, like, as doulas.
They're chubby locks, yes. Plus-size locks.
Yeah, a plus-size. They were so in the inside the head wrap, they buy a shell of a
So one of the things I think about when I think about locks is the conversation, particularly around black women and the belief that black women don't have long hair. And the time that you see lengthy, lengthy hair in black women is through their locks. And you look at somebody like Claire Mawisa, she's been growing those locks. They are beautiful. They're long. They're healthy. But I think many of us haven't taken the time to really wonder, hey, why? I wonder why that person got their locks. And sometimes you'll see a man who has these long locks and you just say, Rastafari. Jokingly. And it could be that, but it also might not be that. So take us back to, when did locking start? And for what is our understanding of why it was done?
Thank you for the question. So people have been locking their hair since the very beginning of time. And note, I say locking instead of dreadlocking, because the term dreadlock comes in later in history, and it has a very particular narrative when it was more of Eurocentric people looking at dreadlocks for the first time or engaging them for the first time and having some kind of a fear response, hence the word dread, like dreaded. And that word also has its roots in terms of the understanding of like some mythical stories, like the story of Medusa, who was understood to have snakes on her head, according to Greek mythology. However, it wasn't, It wasn't snakes, but rather thick, luscious locks on her head. So Medusa in the story, ability to turn people into stone was actually people having their first shock response when outside people were to experience a person like this for the very first time.
I did not know that.
Yeah, so yeah, that's the story of Medusa when it comes to locks. And oh, how I got you, I'll talk about the title, dreadlocks. But going back to the question itself, it exists all over the world, really. Having locked hair is a global phenomenon because hair exists all over the world. So people have formed their hair naturally into locks all over the time for different reasons. Some be it for cultural, some be it for religious, or others, it was literally just the time at the season of the time that people were in. If you think about it, the comb itself was only invented much later by Kushanites, which are people who come from ancient Egypt. So before then, what were people doing with their hair? So then it also became a survival technique in terms of adapting to the environment, in terms of if my hair is matted or locked, then I cannot have lice more easily than if my hair isn't locked. So it's just what happens to the hair naturally, so to speak.
So I want us to just clearly define, because you've touched on religion and culture. Can you just take a moment to talk about some of the possible cultural reasons, of which there are obviously too many to count around the world, but maybe give one or two examples, and then for us to touch on religious reasons. And the reason that I always want us to specifically separate and clearly define us, because many people do group spirituality, culture, and religion in one. But there are some who it is very specifically spiritual and not religious or cultural, yeah. and the other way around.
So if we look at the global north, so by north I mean like geographically, not according to like global north or global south.
Yes.
So in terms of the north, we can take it back to Christianity even. If you think of the story of Samson and how he had seven locks in his head. So the reason why Samson had seven locks was because he was under what was called the Nazarene vow.
Yes.
So the Nazarene vow, Akumbula, when he was there, according to the story, in the water, and his mother saved him, Mama Kewatim is, oh God, God, your no razor will touch my child's head.
Yes.
I vow to separate this child from the rest of society. So then the act of having locks is part of that vow, that Nazarene vow, which can be found in Numbers 6, about a separation from society. So then it becomes a spiritual contract almost, so to speak, that is manifested physically through the growing of one's hair. And then we can go to the east in terms of your Republic of India. There's a group of people within the Hinduism faith called the Sadhus. So the Sadhus were people, they about 4 to 5 million in terms of population currently as it stands. And they are celebrated as being, or because they are perceived as being one of the holiest people in India because of the way they live their lives, and they also choose to lock their heads, lock their hair again for spiritual reasons. And for them, it's really about dedicating their lives spiritually and as well as their religion as well. So when they get initiated by their guru or by their master, that's when they then would begin the process of locking their hair as well. So yeah, and then also in part of that, they also would get their new names linked to that.
So then what is then the relationship between the hair itself and growing it, and like what does that represent? Is because we also know the relationship with hair in general outside of the locking is that when a woman is going through something, they always say a woman who cuts her hair changes her life. And we've seen it often where one moment hair, then you shave it. India Ari sang about it. I'm not my hair. She shaved all her locks off. What do you think that connection is? It's a different connection for women.
I would say women, like all human beings, but to answer your question specifically, women are very perceptive. So if you think of hair has a function, biologically even. So if you see other animals, they have fur, right? So that has a function to protect them from the heat and all those things. Why don't humans have fur? So the fur we have is our hair with on our heads and other regions of the body. And it's almost like an antenna, so to speak, right? So an antenna does what? An antenna receives and it also gives out. So why women would women or any other human beings would have a response to cut off their hair during the heavy times is perhaps you're not in a season of receiving, or what you're carrying is heavy and that's not going to serve you in the season you're in. Hence, you'll find people purging that heaviness by cutting their locks. So it's about what season you're in and what's the function of the hair that you're in. That's why, and if it's funny you mentioned black women, because black women have been doing this. If you notice the black women, I wanna like gang, the 30th floor, 40th floor, 50th floor gang. They're the ones typically who would shave their head off and rock that type of a look. And if you notice, that's almost the kind of the season in their lives that they're in, where it's like, I really am not associated to people's perceptions of me or the world, but rather I'm interested in walking in my light. So that then would be a decision that would then be manifested by the actual act of cutting the hair as well.
So then let's speak specifically about cutting of the dreadlocks. Many who cut their dreads keep them. I know a few people, and not just black women, even a white man being one of them, whose locks are locked away somewhere safely. And they say they may put them back on at some point, but the idea of them selling them because they're high commodity, or even giving them away feels like a part of them would be gone.
So wait, what's your question on that phenomenon?
So in terms of what does that represent then, particularly with those that are dreaded? Because you generally don't find people keeping their clumps of afro in a plastic somewhere. But the dreads, they will keep.
I think it's because with dreads, you form such an attachment to it because of the process in which the hair comes out.
Mm.
So if you'd have an afro or any other hairstyle which is not dreads, your hair would grow, and there's a particular function or rather process that you undergo for that. But when it comes to dreadlocks, it takes a process of maturing. So your hair doesn't come out as a dread, comes out as an afro. Then it matures, it comes together, then it matters and it forms an actual lock. So I think that process, you form a bond, you neaten it up, and all of that. So then your connection with your hair then becomes deeper. Hence, you, and also it's, and it becomes one of your identifiers. Oh no, that girl wear my dreads, or whatever the case may be. So you connect your identity almost to your dreadlocks. So then the idea of giving somebody your identity is
a part of you.
Yeah, sounds like quite, like, hence many people are uncomfortable with it. And with the processes of hair changing over time, there is now the option where you can implant your hair again. So then going back to the different seasons of you find yourself in life, if you find yourself in a season where I can't have this heaviness, then that's fine. You can honor that, but also you don't have to lose that part of you. You can either save it. I know people who then maybe give it to their children, or perhaps keep it for themselves for a later stage, or some people even have like a little, I don't want to say a ritual ceremony, like a thing of burning your hair, just to make sure that you are in control of what happens with your hair.
I find it so fascinating, because there are also some people who will come through and say, I just felt the need to lock my hair. Just something said I need to lock it. And the way you're connecting it to what a person is going through in life, I think is very different to, I feel like being blonde, let me go color my hair, because the process of locking and growing actually takes a lot of time. There's pain involved. Do the chemicals a person chooses to use affect, you know, whatever it is that on the, in the spiritual front, can that possibly affect? Because there are those who are like, I don't put anything but shea butter on my hair, something that's natural, that I know it's pure, and I have to get it from Ghana, and versus others who are like, Jabu Stone thing.
It does matter, because if you think of what the dread is, it's an antenna, right? So if you think of the aerial assembly, like a TV antenna,
yes,
you wouldn't now go and put oil, like car oil on it, or
yes,
cover it in a blanket. What goes on it will affect its functionality. Hence people try and be most organic about it. Hence you'll get your shea butters, your different types of coconut oils, and there's a lot of people in the wellness spaces who are doing that, myself being one of those people in that community. And then you do get your Jabu Stone, who is also quite a prolific business person.
Yes. It's been around for so long.
Yes, but also what Jabu decided to do, well, but Jabu, because I'm young, for the hair industry, in terms of creating products that are designed for African hair. There was a time with, in the, yes, now the market may be saturated, but there was a time where there was nothing like that. So even having that, yes, it's a chemical process, but then I always admire the spirit in which it came.
Definitely, definitely. And at a time that it felt like it's our own person making something for us. Let's go to Josh in Joburg. Hi, Josh. How are you doing?
Good in yourself.
Good, good. Go ahead.
So I had dreads. They were about 30 centimeters long, but they just became so much maintenance. So whoever can keep...
Josh, did we lose you? Josh? Oh, goodness. Let me pass Josh back. Let's see if we can quickly get him back. Josh, who wanted to just chat about cutting his dreadlocks, and I'm curious as to why he may have chosen to lock them. A question. Okay, I think we've got Josh back. Josh, hi.
Sorry about that.
Yes, we lost you for a second. Yeah. Yes, you can go ahead.
So, I had my dreads at about 30 centimeters, but it just became so much maintenance. So, hats off to whoever can do longer than that. It is just so much maintenance, so much work. So, I took the decision to cut them off. I was going to sell them, and then I just decided, you know what, I'll give them to my friend. She's locked it into her hair.
Mm.
So it feels like we're a bit more connected spiritually because I'll be with her wherever she goes. She's had my hair in her head for, 5 years now?
That's so beautiful.
I just know that we're connected regardless of where I am, wherever she is, which all means.
Can I ask, why did you choose to lock your hair and what texture was your hair when you chose to lock it?
I have dead straight flat hair, but thick. And living in Cape Town, that wind just slapped your hair all over the place. It was painful. So I just decided, let's ease it up, lock it, and then even that was just more work. So I just decided to cut it all off. I rock a Bless Corp everywhere now.
Thank you so much for sharing there, Josh. I mean, so the comment I was going to make is, often people think it is a black thing to lock your hair. It's easier, for locking just because of the texture. Hence, I was asking Josh about texture and not just checking, are you Caucasian? Because even, being Caucasian, there's so many different textures. Just to quickly respond to Josh and just to close off what we need to know about dreadlocking, spirituality, and that it's not restricted to whether you're black, white, man, woman, whatever religion, whatever culture.
I think, again, Josh is speaking to about honoring the chapter or the season he was in his life. There was a point in time where it did serve him, and that was beautiful. But there was a point in which he mentioned where it wasn't serving him anymore, and he did have to release the hair from his head. And then it's such a beautiful story in the sense of the love continues because it didn't just stop there. It went and it went to the friend, and that cultivated a different kind of a bond as well between himself and his friend that he mentioned. But in terms of hair, dreadlocks in particular, what I would say is it's about, one would argue now it's the aesthetic thing, hey, abum repa, or whatever the case may be. I think the beautiful thing about it is it's a reflection of a mental state that somebody's in to honor their natural inclinations and how their body reacts. So if anybody feels the need to do so, and the beautiful thing is in this day and age, there's so many methods that you can do that as well. So I think the most important thing, uglalela umoya wakho, to follow and listen to your spirit.
Faux locks, yes or no?
Yes, because I think it's the same thing with ama weaves.
Yes.
You want a specific texture, but you can't have it naturally. So then artificially you create that look. So now, but my designer that look if they want it.
Yes, thank you so much for coming through, Ntokozo Day, founder of Moya Monya Wellness Center.